I'm here to tell you today that he who the Son sets free is free indeed.
Dr. Tony Evans says there's only one way to escape from the flaws and failures that keep us trapped.
But only if you continue in his word.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Many Christians live their life like POWs, unable to break free from the sins that hold them hostage. But there's an escape plan in the works, and it comes straight from Scripture. Let's join Dr. Evans as he tells us about it.
I want to talk about the consequence of addiction that shreds minds, ruins souls, kills relationships, because you find yourself caught. And even if that's not you, there is somebody in your circle of influence who finds themselves addicted. The biblical word for what the world calls addiction is stronghold. The spiritual nature of the addiction. To understand this, stay with me here. I want you to follow me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 2 says, I ask that when I am present, I need not to be bold with the confidence with which I propose to be courageous against some who regard us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The problem of addiction has to do with a lofty thing. You see that phrase? He says, this lofty thing in verse 5 has been raised up against the knowledge of God. So let me define the lofty thing. The Greek word lofty, a synonym for it is partition. If we want to have two classrooms in the same space, we close the partition. This partition is lofty. It goes from the floor to the ceiling, and we close it to divide the room so that we can have two separate classes as opposed to having one bigger class. So we divide it through a lofty thing. Now, the reason we divide the room is so the information in this half of the room doesn't cross over to the meeting in that half of the room. We want the content to be separated so that one room is not interfering with another room. What Paul is saying is the reason why we stay defeated is because of our partition in the mind. There is a blockage in the mind. He says speculations and thoughts raised up, petitioned out against the knowledge of God. So what the enemy does is he sets up a partition in the mind so that the truth of God can't get through. And because he partials off your thinking, your speculation, and your thought, no matter how many sermons you hear, it can't cross over to the other room. Because the other room is filled with contradictory information that the enemy doesn't want the knowledge of God to cross over into. He calls this other information in the other half of the room, your mind, he calls that information knowledge and speculation against the knowledge of God. So the lofty thing is contradicting what God says, what God thinks, so that it doesn't go all the way through. So what happens is that the enemy is able to keep the truth of God from fully infiltrating your thought patterns so that you have victory one moment and defeat another moment. Now, the biblical word for this lofty thing is double-mindedness. It is the job of Satan to keep you thinking in two ways at the same time. He doesn't mind you getting God's thoughts on Sunday as long as in the other room you have his thoughts on Monday. Because if he can get you to have God's thoughts on Sunday but get his thoughts on Monday, he can keep God's thoughts from penetrating the whole of you. Therefore, God's thoughts don't last long. So if that's the problem, how do we do this? How do we begin now to remove the partition so there is no longer a division in the mind, so that now God's knowledge flows through and the fortress is destroyed and all the speculation that's holding me hostage? He says in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You only are going to be freed by the truth. Okay? Now, nobody will disagree with that, so let me say it another way. You will only be freed by the truth, not what you believe to be true. We got folk running around here talking about, I know my truth. Yeah, and where has your truth gotten you? No, no, no. It's not what you believe to be true. He's not talking about a truth, some truth, your truth. He's talking about the truth. The truth refers to an absolute standard by which reality is measured. It is an absolute standard by which reality is measured, and the truth always sits outside of you. And one of the reasons people stay in strongholds is because they're living on a truth, or their truth, or some TV program's truth, or some cultural truth, and not the truth. The absolute standard by which reality is revealed. Here is one of the biggest falsehoods that keep us in custody and locked up spiritually in a stronghold of spiritual addiction. And that is trying to get the flesh to fix the flesh. Paul said in the scripture we just read in 2 Corinthians 10, we do not war according to the flesh. The flesh can't fix the flesh. You can try to manage it. You can try to force it down. You can try to make a New Year's resolution. You can promise you're never going to do it again. You can talk to yourself. You can go to the counselor. You can take medication. But if it's a spiritual sin issue, what we do is go to the thing that's the problem to fix the problem. He says, no. What you must do first and foremost is continue in my truth. Look, the word continue means to hang out, abide, stay there, to loiter. That's what to continue or abide is. You must abide in the truth. We don't abide in the truth, we visit it. You and I are visiting the truth. We've come, we're listening to the word of God. Most of us won't know next Sunday what we heard this Sunday. Because we don't abide in it, we visit it. No, he says, no, no, no. No, no, no. To have victory over the master of sin, you must abide in the truth. So if you are battling something in your life and you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, that's a whole nother ballgame because you don't have the Spirit to help you. But if you are a Christian, you have the Spirit, but the Spirit is the Spirit of truth, so you've got to abide in the truth. So here's what I want you to do this week. Every day, I want you to read Romans 6, 7, and 8. Those three chapters. Romans 6, 7, and 8. Why? Because Romans 6, 7, and 8 is going to tell you the truth about the master called sin, whatever that sin is. In chapter 6, Paul is going to tell you about your new identity in Christ. He's going to tell you, you've been baptized with Christ and you are not who you used to be, because you were buried with him in baptism, raised with him into a new life, so that sin is lying to you. When you go to a 12-step program, guess what they're going to tell you? They're going to tell you to stand up and give your name. Hello, my name is Bill, and I am an alcoholic. That's what they're going to tell you to say. The Bible's going to disagree with that. Paul's going to say in Romans 6, that's not who you are. That may be what you're doing, but that's not who you are. You are a blood-bought, completely converted son or daughter of the living God that has a problem with alcohol. Paul's going to tell you to shift your identification in your newness in Christ, and therefore, verse 11 of chapter 6, consider your old person dead. That's not who you are. My name is Bob, and I am gay. No, that's how you feel. He's going to tell you, you must now identify yourself as Jesus Christ identifies you, because the more you tell yourself you're that, you're telling the flesh to be at home with the sin. Then he's going to come to chapter 7, and Paul's going to tell you, I struggled like you struggled. I had some things in my life. He doesn't tell us what it is, which is good, because then you can put your stuff in that chapter. He says, and I struggled, and the things I didn't want to do, the things I did, and I didn't want it, and it kept coming back, and I resisted it, but it showed up again until I got to chapter 8 and understood the power of the Holy Spirit. And that the law of the Spirit is greater than the law of sin and death. So that in verse 13, he says, therefore, I have no longer any obligation to the flesh. When I understood that I got this supernatural peace when it's tied to the truth.
Dr. Evans will come back with advice for believers who read the Bible but have a hard time understanding its message. Right now, though, he has a few words to share with us. Dr. Evans?
Friends, I am so delighted for the privilege God gives me to speak into your life. And I hope that you believe that through what we do, God is speaking into your life. To do what we do, however, does take a lot of expense. If God is indeed blessing you and others that you know, would you come alongside and become one of our friends, one of our partners? We need to hear that message from you, because that's a vote for us to keep doing what we're doing and to keep doing it even better. We can do that with your help. So from me to you, thank you by faith for your investment of prayers and generous financial support to this ministry, so that we can keep our ministry strong and blessing many more people.
And as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount right now, we'd like to send you Tony's brand new CD series called U-Turn. It's a look at reversing the consequences of the spiritual failures we've experienced in areas like addiction, sexuality, financial responsibility, and more, including problems you've heard were irreversible. U-Turn will show you how to get your life headed in a new and healthy direction. And it's our gift when you visit TonyEvans.org and make a donation, large or small. Don't put it off, because this special offer is only available for a limited time. That's TonyEvans.org. Or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our staff members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, right now, Dr. Evans is back with more of today's lesson. Let's join him.
Now, I know what some of you are saying. You're saying, well, I may know it, but a lot of that Bible stuff, I'm reading it, but I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Do you take medicine you don't understand? You go to the doctor, you say, I'm hurting. He writes a prescription. You don't know what he wrote. In fact, if you can read what he wrote, he ain't a real doctor. They got scribble stuff going. You don't know what that says. You go to the pharmacist, you get the medicine. You don't know all the stuff that's in that medicine. But what you do is you ingest it, you take it, you swallow it, and it does its work even when you don't understand it. Now, sure, we ought to seek to understand the word of God. But while you are taking the time to seek it, if you just keep taking it in and continue it, it has the ability to do its work if you continue in it. So if you are struggling with something, if you are a believer, every day for this week, read chapter 6, 7, and 8 of the book of Romans over and over again, and let the medicine seep down and abide in you, because when you continue in my word, you will then know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It becomes part of your soul. It's been ingested. And we don't do that. We listen to a sermon on Sunday. That's diet church. But there's something else. He just said, if you will continue in my word, if you hang out there, the truth will make you free. But in verse 36, it says, so if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. In the first one, the truth will make me free. But in the second one, the Son sets me free. So what's the difference between being made free and being set free? And what's the difference between being free and free indeed? What's the difference here? If somebody comes and you're in jail and comes up to you and says, someone has just posted bail for you, you're going to shout. You're going to applaud. Somebody has paid what you need to get out. You're going to say, yeah, 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 I'm free. But you're still in jail. You're free because bail has been posted, but you're not out. But you are free. Because once you post bail that has been accepted, you're free. But then they got to do paperwork. They got to do the paperwork. So there is often a gap between legally being free and being out. The word of God post bail. But the Son has the key to the lock. The bail makes you free. The Son sets you free. In other words, it is not merely the knowledge of the Bible. It is the relationship with the author that produces the experience of the freedom that you have. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It says it's alive. The book is alive. It's a book, but it's alive. Now, let me tell you what the book does according to Hebrews 4:12. He says in Hebrews 4:12, the book, the word of God, when taken in, will divide soul and spirit. The reason why we stay trapped in certain things is because the soul and spirit are not divided. They're all mixed up. They're all intertwined because things have not been separated. So that which is God is God, and that which is not is not. So we didn't got it all mixed together. But he says when the word of God does its cutting, it separates the soul and the spirit so that they become two distinct realities, and you know what's what. See, Paul was struggling with, how can I not want to do this and do it? I'm confused. I can't make sense of that. He says the word of God, shoom, cuts between the two, so the two are segmented. But then after he says that, he comes to verse 13 and he says, and all things are laid bare before his eyes. So in verse 12, he's talking about the word of God, but in verse 13, he's talking about his eyes. So he takes the word written and God, the person, and when the living word connects with the written word in your heart, soul, and mind, not only is bail posted, but Jesus comes with a key. And when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Guess what indeed is? Luke 24:34 says, when Jesus rose from the dead, they said he has risen indeed. Why did they have to say indeed? Because Jesus Christ never stopped living after he died on the cross. After Jesus died on the cross, he was very much alive on Saturday as he was on Friday. In fact, the scripture says that on Saturday, he went to Sheol to preach victory to the souls that had died. So Jesus Christ was as alive on Saturday as he was on Friday, but his body on Saturday was still laying in the tomb. He was spiritually alive, but he was not physically alive yet. But as the preacher would say, early on Sunday morning, just a little while before day, Jesus got up so that what was already true became visible. What was already real, you could see it. It's one thing to be in jail and to hear somebody's posted bail. It's a whole bunch of other stuff when folks see you walk out of the jailhouse and see that you are free. Jesus made his freedom visible on Sunday morning. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. But folk in Texas and Louisiana and Arkansas didn't find out about it till June 19, 1865. So there was a gap between legal freedom and the experience of freedom. Not because the proclamation hadn't been signed, it was because folk didn't know about it. So one reason you can stay a slave is because nobody told you how to be free. Oh, but there's another way you can stay a slave. Somebody can tell you that you are free, but you've gotten so used to living on the plantation that you don't exercise the freedom that you have. So a lot of folks stayed in slavery who had been set free because they had gotten so used to being there, they didn't want to take the risk of freedom. On the cross, Jesus signed your Emancipation Proclamation. And everybody who trusts Christ is redeemed. But Satan doesn't want you to know that. He wants a partition up in your mind so that you don't believe you can walk in freedom. But I'm here to tell you today that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. But only if you continue in his word. You continue in his word, you call on the Son, and then you can declare like a great man a few years ago in 1963 in Washington, D.C., free at last, free at last. I thank God Almighty with my stronghold, I'm free at last.
If you haven't experienced the freedom that comes from having your sins forgiven and your life turned completely around, drop by TonyEvans.org today. Click on the menu at the top and choose the link that says Jesus. There, Tony will explain to you exactly what it means to become a real Christian and connect you with the information and free resources you need to start your brand new life. Don't wait. Drop by TonyEvans.org today. And while you're there, don't forget to pick up your copy of Tony's brand new CD collection, U-Turn, Reversing Spiritual Consequences. As I mentioned earlier, all 12 full-length messages in this collection are yours as our thank you gift when you make any contribution to help keep the alternative coming your way. This is a limited-time offer, so don't wait. Contact us today at TonyEvans.org or call our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are available day and night to help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans will come back to tell us about the biblical cure for the epidemic of debt that cripples families, ruins marriages, and threatens our economy. I hope you'll be with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.